Welcome to Freshfire's weekly podcast.
One of the things God looks for in the kingdom is stewards. Not stewards. We've got a steward. Stewards. It's people who are entrusted with the riches of heaven, with glory, with the power of the Spirit. Freely you've received, freely give. And as we are pressing in for these waves of refreshing, we want to see more of God move in our midst. He's testing in how we steward what he's already doing. He's testing you. He's testing me. How are we stewarding this? How are we leaning in? How are we being responsible with what he's placed in our hands? Because, you know, everything he gives us, we're meant to give away. We're not meant to accrue loads of things, loads of stuff by the end of our lives. We're meant to set it for ourselves eternal reward. And therefore, the things that we gather, the things that we accrue in our lives, we need to live our lives spent. So by the time we get to the end, the account is empty. It's fully spent. It's fully invested into that which we've left behind. That's what living for the kingdom really is all about. It's that by the time we get to the end of our lives, like Paul says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. In other words, there's going to be nothing left by the time I'm done. So we need to challenge ourselves on a daily basis. Where can I release the kingdom of God? Where can I pray for a need? Where can I give into a situation? Where can I sow? How can I live a life that's going to be spent? Imagine God gave you an allowance every day. And he expects you to spend the full amount. To come back with nothing. And the next day he doubles your allowance. Because he knows it's going to get to where it needs to go. Amen? So let's live as though God's just placed in our hands the first rains. What are we going to do with it? Just shower under it? Or are we going to start walking with this and releasing it where we go? Find opportunities. Even this week, even when you leave this building today, find opportunities. Pray. And then you'll start seeing the increase. Amen?
As I've freely received, I freely give, and if something can't get through you, it's going to be difficult for it to get to you. I'd like to welcome Abby up. Abby's our speaker today, so if we can just welcome her. Do you know what I like about Abby? First of all, how many of you actually know Abby? That's cool. I like how Abby is, she's uncompromising, and she's steadfast, and she doesn't waver in respect of, she hears the word, and as a prophet should, and they will communicate the word, okay? She is sensitive to the timing, she is sensitive to the season, but she will bring the word of the Lord uncompromising, and that is a very important quality. So we just bless you right now, Abby, and we just thank you for the deposit of the word within you right now and that which you're about to release. Okay, in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Okay, before I start, I can't shake this off, and so we'll do it quick. Is that the real time, 10 to 12? Do we not finish at 12? Okay. I was like, okay. We'll just do this quick then. Okay. So I just really felt like there was, as we was singing about the honey of God coming, I feel like I was hearing these negative voices that have been speaking against people this week, and there's been voices of the enemy, voices of accusation, voices of condemnation, and I feel like there needs to be a shutting down of those voices, because the Lord wants to release strength. And just like in Nehemiah, all the people, when they was building and when they was like doing their thing, all the people were like, oh, they're just gonna get tired, they're just gonna get worn out, and they're not gonna finish. And Nehemiah's response is, now Lord, strengthen our hands. He doesn't bow down to the accusations. He doesn't bow down to the whisperings of the people around. He just says, now, Lord, strengthen my hands. And so I really feel like God wants to release strength and strengthen people's hands. And so if you feel like that's you, then please stand up. If you feel like there's been this negative, these voices of accusation, condemnation, trying to shut you down. Okay. Yeah, just lift your hands to him. Yes, just stretch your hands to those who are stood up. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we break off every lie, every voice of accusation, every voice of condemnation. Right now, we tear down every lie that has been sent against these ones to try and stop them building, to try and stop them accelerating, to try and stop them stepping into who they're meant to be, and where they have been building, and where they've been working, and where they've been trying to advance. Father, we release strength over their hands. Now, Lord, strengthen their hands. Strengthen their hands. We release strength over every heart, over every life, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. So where there has been negativity, where there has been heaviness, I speak a release of joy, 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 over every heart, over every mind, over every hand. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So let every hand, every person that has been building, has been laying the foundations, that has been trying to move forward, I release strength right now to go again, to stand up again, to build again, to accelerate again, to move in the ways of God again. And every lie that is trying to shut the people of God down, right now we release the fire of God to burn every lie, to burn every accusation, to burn every hindrance right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for that honey that is healing. And where there needs to be healing from words that have been spoken against people, Father, release your honey that would heal and strengthen. And Lord, just like you did in the Bible, the other people's battle strategy was to keep going, but Lord, they tasted of the honey. And Lord, your ways and your battle strategy and your strategy for life is better than every other thing. So we just taste of the honey that will bring life and will bring strength and will bring an awakening, that where people's eyes and where people's sight has become dull and has become weary, Father, release your honey to awaken their eyes again in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your strength being released again, to go again, to build again, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, so, you know, God is so doing something in Fresh Fire at the moment, and he's bringing us into this time where that which he's put on the inside of Fresh Fire, he's releasing, not just to the UK, not just to Manchester, but to the nations. And so I really feel like I just had this strong sense that the love of God is not going to allow us to tolerate some certain things anymore, because he knows that this reach is going to reach to the nations, and he loves us too much to keep us entangled. He loves us too much for us to stay in compromise. He loves us too much to keep us tied down and weighed down with the things that aren't glorified to him. And the other week, I just heard this phrase, and it was, we're letting our insides out. So what he needs is lives laid down, so when it all comes out, he gets all the glory. And that's what we want. We want him to get all of the glory. When this spills out, when this goes to the nations, when the nations are coming to us, he has to get all the glory. He has to get all the glory, or else what's the point? If he's not glorified, if he's not lifted high, then what's the point in us even doing this? And so I feel like the Lord is bringing this refining. And you know, you might be thinking, again? You know, this has been going on since like the start of the year about being dead and these things being laid down. But he's putting his hand strongly upon us because of the weight of his presence that is coming and that is going to be released through this place. And it's not just a sense of fresh fire, what's on the inside and what we've cultivated here being released out, but that which is on the inside of us as individuals. And for some of you, it's like you've been capped and you've been blocked, but the Lord is bringing a breaking open of what he has called you to be, a breaking open. And this is why you've come under fresh fire. This is why some of you, I mean, we've had so many new people, and it's because he's breaking people open. He's bringing people into an atmosphere where that which is on the inside of them can be broken open and released to people everywhere we go. Because like Adam said, this is more than just about us getting, oh yeah, we want fire and we want this for us and yay, we're gonna look super spiritual. It's like people are hungry out there to hear about Jesus. Just this week I was with my hairdresser, and I've known her all my life, and she kind of seen a few videos and stuff of Fresh Fire and me on it, and she's like, last time she'd asked me about it, and I'm like, well, you know, I hear from God and we're doing this training up people who also hear from God and explaining it. And I saw her this week and she goes, so are you still hearing these voices then, Abby? And I was like, well, to be honest, I see more things than I hear things. And she goes, well, what do you see? And I'm like, sometimes this, sometimes that. And she's like, what do you see on me? And I'm like, you know, I'm thinking, apart from the fact that you're into yoga, apart from the fact that you've done this, that, and the other, and you're into all this Buddhist stuff. I mean, she calls herself an atheist, but she's hungry. And my point is, people are hungry to know. And she's like, you know what, Abby? I end up talking about the third heaven, the second heaven. She's like, how come you're not a psychic and an oracle then? And I was like, well, because as Christians, we get access to the throne room of God, to access the plan and purpose of heaven for people's life. Those psychics don't get access to that. And she's like, I don't understand you, but okay, like, okay. And then she's just asking more questions. And she's like, you know what the thing is about the Bible? She's like, I think the thing is about Christianity. She's like, I believe Jesus is real and all this, but I think everyone it just turned into a big Chinese whispers. And he was a great guy, and then it just turned into a Chinese whispers. And I was like, but here's the thing. I said to her, because she was like, oh, it's just stories. And I'm like, it is just stories if we don't see it today. And I'm like, this is why, you know, we're gathering people together to hear from God. This is why we're praying for people on a Sunday morning to get healed. I'm like, this is why we have a ministry team on a Sunday, because we believe in the stuff that the Bible says to be released here today. And I'm like, if it's just in the Bible, then it's just stories. It's just great stuff that happened to other people. But I'm like, this is why we have to see it. But we've got to be ready, because people are hungry to hear from God. And she was like, you know what, Abby? She's like, I don't understand half of the stuff he said, but you know what? There's something about you, and there's something about what you carry, and I feel it when you speak. They might not, we try and make people understand, oh, how can we make them understand the third heaven and the second heaven and da 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 da. They probably won't. But she is like, you know what? I'm excited that you feel like you can hear from God, and you are seeing people what you think is getting healed, and you are having these encounters on a Sunday morning. But it's we have to be ready, and we have to have what is coming out of us to be pure and of fire and of something that people can take hold of, that even if they don't understand the words, they remember the feeling that they had. And me and my mom was like, you know what, we pray for you, Lisa, you know. And she's like, what? You pray for me? What? You actually pray for me? Like, what is that about? And it's like the simplest of things. People are hungry to have encounters. And she ended up sharing about how she's seen all these demons and asking me, well, what is it? And what does this mean? And my point is, we've got to be ready, because people are going to start asking. about what's going on with Fresh Fire. What's this I'm seeing on Facebook? What's this video? What's outpouring? Why is someone on the floor? Why is people getting healed? How come that person's running out of a wheelchair? What happened there? You know, how come the dead are being raised? How come, you know, people are going to start questioning what's going on with Fresh Fire? What's going on with Fresh Fire? And so the Lord is bringing this, he's bringing his hand to put his hand, basically, on the things that aren't in alignment. And it's like the places that God is bringing us into, what we got away with in the last season, we can't get away with anymore. And it's this sense of others may, but we may not. Others might be able to watch TV for hours, and others might be able to go out and do this, and others might be able to, you know, even be sleeping around at the weekend. No, and they might be able to get away with it. We may not. Others may, but we may not. And it's like the Lord is putting this demand on our time, on our mouths. Others may be able to speak negative about situations. We may not, because our words have the power of life and death. And I really, yes, I really feel that strongly. We have to guard our mouths, because what is coming out of our mouths, we are prophesying into being. And this is a prophetic house where we're releasing the voice of the Lord. And if we say, oh, you know, this always happens, this person's always sick, oh, have you seen what they're doing over there? Isn't it so bad? And we create an atmosphere of negativity. And it's like, others may, but we may not. He's putting a demand on the kind of stuff that is flowing out of our lives, flowing out of our mouths. I kind of went off my notes then, but hey, it's fine. Oh, Jesus. I'm sweating. And you know, we wonder, has anyone felt their lives being pretty shaken up at the moment? Things being tipped upside down. How many of you were here on the first one of the Sunday back where we pray that prayer, Lord, shake everything that can be shaken. Lord, crush every idol that can be crushed. I welcome your light. I welcome your fire to expose every darkness within me. I thank you that your blood is enough to break every chain and crush every... Who prayed that? We so many times we're like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna pray this. Here I am, send me. Woo, let's go. And then we wonder when the burning coals come on our lips, and we're like, whoa, God, what's happening? He's like, you said, here I am, send me. You said, my life is not my own. You said, I fully surrender to you. You said, shake everything that can be shaken. And so my hand is coming upon your life. And I'm shaking those things that aren't in alignment. I'm shaking those things that aren't in my will. I'm shaking those things that are exalting themselves. I'm crushing those idols, idols of money, idols of fame, idols of success, idols of selfish ambition. He's crushing those things. And we're like, God, why is my life a mess? Oh, why is all this weird stuff? Oh, God, like, why is everything just so hard? I think the enemy's attacking me and all this weird, oh, no, like, oh, woe is me. Like, I'm under attack again. And he's like, no, that's me. I'm doing the crushing. I'm doing the burning. We're like, yes, we'll get on the altar. And we lie on the altar. And then he brings his fire and you're like, get me off the altar. Oh, I didn't know it would burn. And he's looking for those who are on the altar, who will lie on the altar and will stay there and will burn and will get heaven's hand to work and do heart surgery and clean us up so that we can then be sent out. Because he's letting that which is on the inside, he's letting it out. And what's going to come out is what's in your heart. If there's bitterness in your heart, guess what? That's going to come out. If there's unforgiveness, if there's compromise, that's going to come out. If there's sexual perversion, that's going to come out. And he loves us too much for him to just leave us to let all this stuff just come out. To let all this junk, all this compromise, all this, when we're trying to reach people, he loves us too much to just leave us with all these entanglements. And that's what people see when they see Jesus. He loves us too much to allow us to keep walking, because he knows that if he doesn't do the work, then when he comes, it will crush us. Because there's all this stuff in the way. There's all this compromise in the way. You know, there's a story in the Bible about the widow, and she gathers all of the jars so that they can be filled with oil. Oil can only be filled in your life if your vessel is empty. Elijah said, gather as many empty vessels as you can. And I feel that sense of God saying, gather the empty vessels. Gather the ones who are empty. Gather those who are fully abandoned to me, who are fully aligned to me, who are fully given over in hot pursuit of me, that I might pour out the oil of my presence and my healing and my deliverance and my power and my might and my wisdom, that he might pour out his oil. But the thing is, we could, if we have stuff in our vessels, we can only get a bit. We can only get a bit of what he's pouring out. We only get a bit. And then we wonder why on a Monday morning, after we've encountered God in a mighty way on a Sunday, and we're all slain in the spirit, and it's all, you know, galloping around everywhere, and, you know, shouts this, that, and the other. And a Monday morning, we're like, oh, I'm so bored. And, oh, God, why is everything going wrong? And why is everything? It's like, no. Every day, clean out our vessels. Every day. It's called living sacrifices for a reason, because we're supposed to live as sacrifices every day, not just for a season, but forever. And you know, I've been so challenged recently and just felt the pressing hand of God coming closer to my life. I'm like, oh, God, I can't even. Sometimes you just can't stand anymore. And you're like pinned to your bed. And you're like, what even is going on? And you're like, I can't breathe. I can't stand. I don't know what to think. But I know your hand is coming and is pointing out the areas that are unclean. And we've got to submit to this process of being dead ones. And you know what? Sometimes we don't want to be dead. But my prayer is, God, make us hungry to be dead ones, that we might be so alive and so breathing of your resurrection life and your power everywhere we go. Ooh, I'm going to read this verse. Ooh, it says, on reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of money changers and the benches of those selling doves. And as he taught them, he said, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. And I'm like, Lord, come and turn the tables in this temple. In us, start with us. Yes, Fresh Fire as well, because, you know, it'll be a house of prayer for the nations. You know, we've been having this word recently about, you know, hosting the nations and stuff. But here it says, is it not written, my house will be called a house for the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. You know what? Let it not be said that we've made it into a den of robbers, where we've made it about us, where we've made it about us selling our things, selling ourselves, selling all these things and this compromise. Let him come and turn the tables of compromise in our own lives. Let him come and turn the tables of compromise in this house. Let him come with his fierce love. You know what it was? It wasn't that Jesus was necessarily angry. He's not like, oh, these religious people, what are they doing? It's, he has to be glorified. The King of Kings has to be glorified. And so this is not glorifying to him. This is not glorifying to him. This is not glorifying to him. This is a house of prayer. This is a house where my Father will be glorified. And so we turn these tables, and we are temples of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm like, Lord, come and turn the tables in this temple. Every bit of compromise, every bit of lukewarmness even, turn it over. Turn it over till all that's left is that he is glorified, till all that's left is that he is lifted high, till all that's left is resurrection life is flowing out, till all that's left is his burning presence is flowing out everywhere I go. You know? Oh. And it's intense when he turns the tables. But you know, I think this is why some of us have been like, what's going on around us? Why are these things happening? And it's God being like, nope, that's not giving you glory. That job you're in, that's not glorifying to me. That family situation that you did, that's not glorifying to me. That television that you're watching for 6 hours, but you can't even spend time with me, I'm turning that over. Those hours you spend on Facebook scrolling, that's got to go. It's got to go. Like, all these things have got to go, because this is more than just about us having a nice encounter here at Fresh Fire. It's more than just about us, you know, feeling nice on a Sunday or being like, woo, I got slain in the spirit. Woo, I got the fire. And when Monday comes, nothing's changed. Right. And you know, an electric fire, you know, in people's houses, sometimes they look real, but you can just switch them on and off. And I tell you what, if you can go home and just switch off, and if you can go home and just switch off your calling, switch off your anointing, woo, I've led worship, woo, I've just done a great word, I've just been, you know, ministering on the hospitality, I've just been doing this, I've just been doing that, and then you go home and you just go, all right, okay, now I can switch off and just do something else. It's not the real thing. Because when it's the real thing, when there's a real fire, you smell like you've been around the fire. It takes the prodding and the poking of God to keep the fire going. When you've been around it, everything you do smells of it. Your hair smells of it. Your clothes smell of it. Your house smells of it. When there's a fire, everything smells. And not just you smell of it, but you can see it in people's houses, those who have a real fire. You see it, the smoke coming out with electric fire, on and off, on and off. On and off. Woo, praise God on a Sunday morning. Yes, here I am, send me. Right, I'm just going to go on Facebook for 10 hours. Oh, I'm just going to go and do it. 10 hours is a long time. Extremes. I'm always saying extremes in my head, so just bear with me. But we can't afford to be ones who are just switching it on and off, because that's not the real thing. The real thing takes time to cultivate, to, you know, a real fire, you've got to put logs on, you've got to put coal on, it's got to get prodded and poked. When the fire's nearly out, it's like, I only know because my granddad has a fire and I've seen him do it, but he's there, and it's not just like a little, oh, let's hope the fire gets going, it's like, oh, there's a flame, right, let's get some logs on, let's get some. And this is why we have to have the proddings and the pokings of his presence to be like, you know what, your fire's burning out. Your fire's burning out, and you're going to get satisfied for just buying an electric fire because it looks like it's on fire and it looks really good and it does still give off heat. But God's like, no, take the time, put the logs on the fire, put the coals on the fire and let him prod and poke and burn within us. And we've got to allow this process of pruning in order for us to grow. We've got to allow it. In fact, I remember Anna said, if God can't prune you, he won't let you grow. He won't let us grow. He loves us too much that he won't let us grow unless we've submitted to that process of pruning, where it's like, that's dead, that's dead, that's not glorifying to me, that needs to go, that needs to go. And it's not a sense of, it's not, you know, when we talk about these things, it's not a condemnation, oh, you're in sin and you're doing this wrong. It's, he loves us too much to allow us to just keep going in the way that we're going. And, you know, I feel like if we don't submit to this process, because I, oh, sorry, back, my brain went too fast for me then. it happens. You know when your brain's like, and you're like, slow back, slower. but he's expanding. As we lay ourselves, it's like, as we lay ourselves on the altar, there's the poking, there's the prodding, there's the pruning, there's the burning of his presence. But it's like he's expanding us to be new vessels that are empty. He's expanding our capacity to receive more of him, because he knows if he pours out at the capacity that we're at, it would just crush us. It would just be like, and we'd just be taken down and we'd be like, we cannot sustain this. We cannot, we don't even know what to do with it. But it's like the Lord is expanding us, and he's expanding our hearts, and he's expanding our minds, and he's expanding our spirits, so that when he comes, it doesn't crush us, but we're able to sustain it. And also our lives have to be laid down, because if not, when, you know, when who we really are comes out, and when fresh fire, everyone across the whole world is hearing about it, which I believe it will, then, oh, my brother's ringing me, go away, then, oh, what's I saying? Oh yeah, then as we're let out, as we're released, and everyone knows our names, everyone knows about fresh fire all across the world, if we're not laid down, then we'll be seduced by success. And that is a scary thing. There's this quote that says, the most seductive voice is not always one of immorality, but the one of success. And many times we think, you know what, I've laid this down and I'm not in compromise, and you know, I'm walking through my healing and I'm walking through this, that and the other. But the one area that we forget to sort out is the pride and the wanting to be seen and that success and that platform and that thing. And if we're not laid down, when all of this that God's put in Fresh Fire is released, when all of this goodness, when this presence, you know, God has put his presence in Fresh Fire in such a mighty way, like this is unusual. And so people are going to, when they see it, they're going to be drawn to it because they've not seen it before. They've not seen it in normal church, sat in a pew on a Sunday morning. They've not seen it. And so when it's released, we have to be laid down so that he gets all the glory. And when, you know, it becomes, it's not that God doesn't like success, but it's when we're seduced by the success. It's when we fall into a pride. It's when we fall into, oh, it's all about us. Well, no, it's all about him. People will know the name of Fresh Fire, but what will it be known for? Will it be known that he is glorified and he is lifted high? Like, I would never want people to look at my life, to look at Fresh Fire and not just see the goodness of God, not just see the testimony of he is so good and he is glorious. You know, it says he will not share his glory with another. In fact, let me find the scripture if I've got it written down. This is what God the Lord says. The creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk in it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand and I will keep you and I will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prisons and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name, and I will not yield my glory with another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. And God has called Fresh Fire to heal the brokenhearted and to restore the blind and, you know, reach these people, and we're called to see the captives set free, and we're going to see the dead raised, and we're going to see God move in a mighty, mighty way, and people who don't even know Jesus are going to start just coming in because they're hungry. Yeah. And we have to give them more. But if it becomes about us and he doesn't get the glory, then my goodness, we'll have to stand before him on Judgment Day and say, God, we took the glory for you. And I can't do that. We can't do that. We can't afford to take any of the glory when it's all about him. It's all about what he does in people's lives. It's all about him breaking chains. It's all about him restoring hearts. It's all about him being the deliverer. It's all about him healing the nations. It's all about him. And it's not about us, and it never has been about us. And so we can't take any of the glory. I refuse to take the glory. It's not mine. It's not ours. We can't take the glory when he's the King of Kings. When he's the one that does the moves. When he's the one that heals the nations. When he's the one who is coming before us as Fresh Fire, saying, see, the former things have taken place and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. How gracious that he announces these things to us. And not just wax us with it and then we get knocked out. He's so gracious that he's like, here's what I'm doing. There's this move that I'm bringing. There's this outpouring that's coming. And you know, if we submit to this process, when he tells us about the things that are coming, when there's this announcement of God is on the move, he's moving through Fresh Fire, the announcement is an invitation to not just taste the promise, but to sustain the promise, to sustain the new things. I don't want to be a person who just tastes. You know, these refreshings are great, but there's more. This is just a taste of what's to come. This is just a taste of what it's going to pour out. And so he's looking for those whose lives are laid down. He's looking for those who will submit to the process, who won't just say, yes, God, here I am, send me, shake everything that can be shaken. You alone are God. Oh, be glorified, be lifted high, da, 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 like we sing on a Sunday morning. He wants us to be those who are living it. I'm breathing it everywhere we go, every single day. God, burn, the things that aren't glorifying to you. God, turn the tables of my life that the things that aren't glorifying to you. God, I welcome your hand to come and turn. Let that be our prayer every single day. Turn the tables, God. Turn the tables in our hearts. Turn the tables in our minds. Turn the tables in our finances. Turn the tables in our calling. Turn the tables in our thought patterns. Lord, every thought that is not aligning with you right now, turn it over with your presence. Let this be our prayer every single day, that we would not miss what he's doing, that when he breaks us open, when he pours us out, that it wouldn't just be all this compromising, it wouldn't just be this fake fire that we can switch on and off on a Sunday morning, but it is the real thing, that when people get around us, they start to smell of the fire that we have been getting around. They start to smell in their hair, in their clothes, in their houses, they start to smell, because they've been around the real deal. They've been around the real thing. And let us not offer people something that is just fake and something that is just compromise and mixture and just half-hearted. It's like, God, we have to burn for him. You know, even this week I've been like, Lord, my heart's been growing lukewarm, and it's not okay. It's not okay for our hearts to be lukewarm. We're saying, oh God, we love you. Well, you know what? When we love him, our lives look crazy. When we love him, it's not just like, yes, we love you, floaty, floaty, floaty. Like, we start doing stuff that makes us feel uncomfortable. Like, I'm an introvert, and sometimes in worship, when you've got to show your love for Jesus, you're like, oh, this is so embarrassing. But God, I love you. God, like, I just want to pour out. And when your spirit is coming, we can't afford to be like, oh, this is going to be awkward. Like, what happens if I shout a bit? Like, what happens if I get a bit weird? What happens if... Like, let's be honest, when God comes, whether you're introvert, extrovert, you know, in between, it's going to be messy. But the thing is, we have to surrender to whatever it looks like, whatever it sounds like. And we love him, and that's why we do it. We love him, that's why we get on the altar, because he's worthy. And, you know, every day this year, I've been like, Lord, I have to see why you're holy. I have to see... Why? You know, why are we giving ourselves over? Why is he pouring out? Why is he emptying us as vessels? Why do we do it? It's because he's holy. But it's all right knowing that he's holy and knowing that he's worthy. And it's like, yes, God, you're worthy of it all. But when you see, when you experience, when you know, when you see him on his throne, high and lifted up, when you see the angels and the elders casting their crowns, when you see the angels adoring him, singing, holy, 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 it changes everything. And when we lay all this stuff down, it's not like, oh God, like, I really love doing that though. And it's, God, I love you more than anything, more than Facebook, more than food, more than all these other things. I love you more, and you're worthy of it all. And let people see us in fresh fire as ones who glorify him with our whole lives. Our whole lives, every single part, every single part, even the bits that are painful, we have to submit to this process. He's inviting us that he might pour out, not just for us. I mean, we'll be impacted too, and we'll experience his love and his freedom and his mercy and his goodness and his glory and his holiness and the way of his. We'll experience that, but it's about more than just us. It's about the nations. It's about this city. It's about people. You know, the darkness has been advancing for too long, and we've just sat around like, oh, it's such a dark place, this city. Oh, Manchester. Oh, the UK. What a mess Brexit is. What is that about? When we have resurrection life, when we have access to the throne of God, when we can glorify him everywhere we go, when we have Christ, the hope of glory, inside of us, and we're just keeping it to ourselves, and yet we're partnering with, oh yeah, everywhere's so dark, everywhere's so... No, let us be empty vessels that we pour out his oil, we pour out his healing, we pour out his deliverance, we pour out his glory everywhere we go. I'm going to stop there, or else I'll just keep going. So let's stand.